And you're listening to Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg. Federal agents, with the assistance of the Tennessee Highway Patrol, stormed into Southeastern Provision, a meat processing plant in Bean Station, Tennessee, as helicopters circled above the factory and agents blocked doors. Around 100 workers were rounded up and filed into buses without any opportunity to explain who they were, how long they had been there, or whether they were subject to federal immigration law at all.
54 community members living in East Tennessee for decades, some of whom had devoted over 10 years of labor to that factory, were shipped out of the state without even a chance to say goodbye to their spouses and children. Their families were told nothing and were left to wonder what had happened to loved ones who never came home.
At least 160 children are missing a parent. Nearly 600 students in a single school district have stayed home out of fear, and participation in the economy and community has been chilled. Hundreds of families' lives have been torn apart. And now we are extremely pleased to speak with family member Beatrice. We, for the family's protection, will not provide her last name, and Camilla Filer, Integration Director of the Tennessee Immigration and Refugee Rights Coalition. Thank you both for being with us. And I want to begin with a sense of the work that is done and who these individuals are as community members, as workers. And Camilla, why don't you set the stage for us? Who are the people that we're speaking about?
Yes, this tragedy was completely devastating at the town of Morristown, when hundreds of families, loved ones, and neighbors were completely and deeply saddened to see how the people in their communities were just torn apart. These people that were affected by this event have been people that have been living in Morristown for a lot of them more than a decade, that where their children were born there, they were part of the church, the part of the soccer team, part of the community, hard workers that were just trying to provide for their families. Morristown has about 20,000 people living there, and the Granger County, which is where Morristown is in, has the third largest immigrant community in the whole state of Tennessee. A lot of them have been bought their groceries and automobiles. A lot of them were homeowners. A lot of them had their children in other programs, extracurricular activities, and that helped the local economy as well as the local people that work there.
Beatrice, you have a number of family members who are caught up in the raids. How did that affect you, and what have you been doing to protest and to try to make things right?
When that happened, it broke apart. Majority of my family were taken into custody that day. It's been really heartbreaking since that day. From that day to this day, it's just been stressful, overwhelming, especially sad for the little kids that lost their parents, uncles, aunts, mom, dad. There were so many of families heartbroken, in which at that moment we didn't know. We felt a feeling of impotence in which we didn't know how we could help, what we could do to help. We didn't know what to do at that moment. We were really confused, aside from being very sad of what had happened. Since that day, we have participated in church events which helped the people that were affected directly. We have gone in with vigils that have happened since that day. We also had a peace walk here in Morristown to ask for the release of our family members and our loved ones. And I just think that's been really heartbreaking for all of us, especially the ones that were impacted directly, like my family. That day completely changed our life forever.
Camilla, what actually happened that particular day? what hour it was, what the community looked like, how word got out, and so on. Set the stage for us. Give us a sense of what that picture was like, Camilla.
People to imagine when we heard about the hurricane or the tsunamis, the natural disaster that have happened, and you hear on the news. Think about the families that as soon as a disaster happened, they are trying to find out if their relatives were affected or not. That's exactly how the day started out. We received a call right within the 30 minutes of the raid happened. We were trying first to verify all the information. And as we started mobilizing and getting in touch with community members in Morristown, we knew that a lot of people had mobilized to the armory to try to find out if their member, the family members, the relatives were there. Others had to stay and wait for their kids to get to school to tell them the news that their parent was taken and that probably they were not going to see them again. They started gathering about hundreds outside to wait and see if they could see, if they would know something. And then as it started getting cold and would not get any information, the school next door opened up their doors to offer shelter to the families while they were still waiting to hear something. A lot of volunteers got arrived, and they started bringing food for the kids and also for the relatives. Throughout the day, some, as you know, 32 people were released, starting in the afternoon all the way till midnight. You know, there was still hope that more could be released. We were also trying to get pass on information back to the armory because many of them were taking medicine, had diabetes and other chronic diseases that need to be taken care of and monitored, and we're not having access to medicine. So we were trying to pass that information along with very little success. We stayed there until a little bit past midnight when we realized that no more people were going to be released, and tried to offer as much support as possible to the families that evening. And pretty quickly next day at 8 in the morning, opened up the doors of St. Patrick Catholic Church for families to come and not only seek shelter, but support and any resources that they could have for them and their relatives and that were detained.
Beatrice, how did you find out about your family members, and what did you do in that situation?
That day, my plan was the same plan as always, was to wake up, go to school. It was the same routine. We were happy to, everyone went to work, and we would think that by later that day, we would all come back home and happy like every day. But I was at school that day in class, and my dad was calling me more than usual. Usually, if it's not that important, he would only call me maybe once or twice. But that day, I noticed something different because he called me about 5 times, and which is really unusual for him, which I knew at that moment something was wrong. When I had the chance to go back and return the call to him, is when he told me like everything that had happened and the news that had happened that day, which in that moment I was very confused. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know, was my family okay? Were they okay? Or was it all over town, or was it just at that particular job site? Then he told me to rush back home and call my family members, see if they were okay. And about 5 minutes later, he called me again telling me that almost half of my family was detained and were taken to the armory place. At that moment, I was, aside from being heartbroken, aside from all of us being sad, I felt like our whole world was shattered into pieces. It was really hard because I was aside from being confused, I still didn't know, will I receive them again? So many things came through my head that I could not understand why was this happening. And it was just terrifying to know what is it, what's going to be from them, what is next, what step will we take. At that moment, I didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to do. How could we help him? How would we tell their kids when they come back to school? How would we be able to give them the news face to face? It was impossible for me to think, if my aunt and uncle don't come back, how will we tell their son that their parents are gone? How could we look at him in the face and tell him and not be able to give him an answer?
And how old are their children?
7 years old.
And what have they been thinking since this happened? What do you say to them?
It's been really hard this past days. His mom, fortunately, was released because of him. But unfortunately, his father was not, and he was taken into custody. From that day on, his son has been devastated, heartbroken. And there's times in which, when it comes to the nighttime, he asks, where's my dad, or when is my dad going to come back? And we just look at him with tears in our eyes, and we do not have a response for him. Because we do not know, will he come back, or when will he be able to see him? There's times in which his father calls him through the phone, and his little boy asks him with tears in his eyes, where are you, or are you going to come back today? And his father, just so the little kid won't be any more devastated, he just tells him, oh, well, I'm on vacation, but I'll be back soon, which just breaks our heart because we know that that's not the truth.
And Camila, I imagine this kind of discussion is happening all over town with regard to parents who have been, loved ones who have been taken. But another dimension also is the economic loss to the families. So how is the community dealing with that, and what kind of assistance is the Tennessee Refugees and Immigration Services playing?
They realized immediately is that the majority of people taken into custody were the main breadwinner of the family, leaving a lot of mothers that were at home taking care of the children without any financial support. So on day two, right after the raid, there was local organization called Ola Lakeway that quickly opened up a GoFundMe to start recruiting money for the families and a lot of donations. Our goal as organizations is to recruit $100,000. We are halfway through it, but that's something that we can continue to ask for support, because these families not only need to cover their basic necessities, their rent and utilities and food for their children, but as we know, legal services can be very expensive, and we would like to support them as much as possible because we know that right now there is no income coming for a lot of them.
And at this point, how many people, if any, have been actually removed from the state already?
A couple of days after the raid, we're mobilized to Louisiana, which is where all the detention centers, immigration detention centers are, and the jurisdiction that Tennessee belongs to.
I mean, this is a significant meat processing plant, Bean Station, Tennessee. And what's happened to the plant? What has been the response of the owners?
There are a lot of things that are continue to be under investigation, and we haven't heard anything much from them, so I don't know, but I don't have that information.
But the plant itself, as I understand it, is impaired in terms of the fact that most of the workers are now detained, so that this must have impact on the entire community, and indeed farmers in the region, I understand, are unable to get their livestock in for processing.
Yes, a lot of the economy across the county depended largely on the meat packing, I'd like to say farmers especially. So they were a lot of the ones that were primarily affected from the low the loss of all so many employees at the meat packing.
And Beatrice, what kind of additional burden does this put on you? How old are you, by the way?
I am 18 years old.
You're 18. This is an awful lot to bear. And what additional responsibilities, what rests upon you, and how do you see moving forward and progressing in a society that is so belligerent and so cruel to hardworking people who, in effect, were creating the very wealth that is revered by within that district? These are the workers. These are the people whose blood, sweat, and tears make up that community. How do you see telling our audience about what we should be thinking about and doing?
I feel like it's really hard on me, especially because, like I said, I feel like I'm at a very young age in which maybe I should be focusing more on, like, school, focusing on friends, something that a normal young teenager like me should be focused on. But I feel like this has hit me hard because it has to do with my family. I don't think that when it comes to other people, they don't feel the same, because this is something that I feel like is not fair. It's not fair that they have to come and take family members away that all they ever did was work hard, like you said. They came into this country looking for a better future for not only themselves, but for their kids, for their family. That's all they've ever looked for, giving them a better life, something that they probably did not have where they were originally from. And coming into this country is coming to look for opportunities so that their kids won't suffer the same way they did. I think that it is a burden, because it's something that not only my family in general, but everyone else in the community has fear of. They have a fear that this will keep going on, that this will keep on separating families, and which should not be happening. I feel like kids, they should have the same opportunity to be with their mom or dad and to live with their family than to be separated over something they did not do. They did not do anything bad. They did not do anything they were not supposed to. All they ever did was work hard as anyone else to be able to provide for their kids, to give them a better education, a better lifestyle, and provide the needs that every children needs. And I think that's just been really hard, not only for the adults, but especially for the little kids that do not have their family with them anymore. I think that society should know that we're not here to do anything bad. We're not here to take anyone else's spot if that's how they feel. We're just here to work as much as they do. I know that the people that immigrated to this country have learned to love this community as if it was their second home. And I feel like the people that are detained should come back to a place that they've already called a home. And they should be allowed to return to their home and to keep working as hard as they did, and to have the ability to come and enjoy the time with their kids, their family, and be allowed to see their kids grow each day. And I think that all I ask for is for the community to understand more how this is, how it really affects us directly, and that they should have the ability, that they should have the opportunity to live in a place where all they do is ever provide what's best for them and for the family.
So, Camilo, do you sense that the immigrant community in the town are afraid of being picked up on other raids, that they're afraid to go about their normal life, drive a car, go shopping, complain to the police that there's a problem, things of that nature?
I think the community in Morristown and surrounding areas is not going to be the same after this raid. This has created long-term trauma, not only on the families directly affected, but also on those that were not affected, but that now fear every day that this could happen to them. As an example, during the first week of
the raid, we offered legal services to, we started offering just to affected communities, to affected families, on helping them do a family emergency plan and power of attorneys for their minors. But quickly, we had to expand those services to the rest of the community because people were coming in masses. And in only 5 days, we assisted 370 families, protecting over 750 children across the area. So I think this is a demonstration that families are fearing that this could happen to them and that they need to be prepared and try to protect their loved ones as much as they can.
And the most critical thing is, for those of us who are listening here, what do we do to help our sister and brother immigrants from Tennessee, our primarily Latino immigrants that have worked some for decades in Morristown, Tennessee? How can we help?
I thank everyone from across the country. First of all, thank you for a lot of the support that we have received. It has meant a lot. But we still need to continue that, and I think donation to the families, as I mentioned earlier, Ola Lakeway, a local organization, has set up a GoFundMe account to help support the families. All the donations made at the link will go direct to the families of those arrested and detained and help them support them through these really hard times.
We want to thank you, Camilla, for the work that you're doing. Camilla is the Integration Director with the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition, who's been stationed in Morristown since the raid, to help coordinate financial assistance to the families and secure legal representation for immigrant detainees. And Beatrice, who has experienced the loss of so many of her family members, which she, with such passion and eloquence, has described for us. In the last minute, is there a projection of more people coming home? Are people getting the legal services they need to wind up being released pending hearing, et cetera? Camilla?
Well, we're very grateful to establish a partnership with the Southern Poverty Law Center, an organization that is based in Louisiana to help people in detention, who has helped us from the beginning secure legal representation for those that are currently detained. And we continue to work with local attorneys to find representation for those that are released. So if you are an immigration attorney that would like to assist in any capacity, we welcome you to this journey, because a lot of the support is going to be needed in the long run. Thank you.
Again, thank you very much for joining us, Camilla. Beatrice, we stand with you, with our sisters and brothers from Tennessee, and we will work hard to do whatever we can to support your efforts towards the release of these workers who do create the wealth and the culture throughout our society. This is a country that was built with the labor of immigrants. Thank you.
Thank you.
And to support the families, if you Google Ola, H-O-L-A, Lakeway, second word, L-A-K-E-W-A-Y, that's Ola Lakeway, you'll find their GoFundMe site where you can contribute to legal resources for these families who have been torn apart from their loved ones, their community. That's Ola, H-O-L-A, Lakeway, and search out their GoFundMe campaign.
The crops are rolling and the peaches are rotting. The oranges are packed in their Creole dumps. They're taking us back to that Mexican border. They owe the money to way back again. Goodbye to my one, goodbye, Rosa.
us, Jesus and Maria. Oh, heavenly, when your eyes are big and high, only will for you will be devoted. My Father, oh Father, he waded that river. Then all the money he made in his life. My sisters and brothers now work in the fruit trees. Rode on the truck till they took down and died. Goodbye to my one, goodbye to adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. Oh, heavenly, when your eyes are big and plain, oh, they will call you every devotee.
Sweet Honey in the Rock. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.